David Sexton, and I'm a missionary, I guess a Native American, and we work on almost all of the, not all of them, I may ask the wrong way to put it, on many of the Indian reservations out west. We were North American director with our mission board for about 15 years. We're no longer that. We have taken the rest of our ministry to focus mainly and entirely on the Native Americans. Our work out there got so big, we just couldn't handle everything. And so one work started taking away from the other. So we just thought the Indian work was more important. We felt led more to that, okay? And anyhow, to let you know something about us, we were saved in 1959. For many were born here, I guess. And we started our ministry in 1973. We pastored for 24 years. We've been in mission work now for about 20. And God has used us all over the United States in starting churches and building churches and pastoring churches and so on before we got into the mission work. And God has really been good to us. I guess we've worked in about 13 different works now, and some of right large works, others the Lord used us to start. I like to say this, that we as missionaries do not start churches. God starts churches. We're completely dependent upon Him. And our whole work is really putting Him on display and introducing Him and really preaching Christ to the world. And God has to do the work. And God uses us. We're just a vessel being used. And God, you know, the Bible says, upon this rock I'll build my church. The churches belong to Him. He does the building. And so we just give Him all the glory and all the honor for everything that's accomplished. And we work, try to be very humble as we work and in building the works and so on. We don't say a lot, and sometimes I'm get a little disturbed at us, but our letters go all over the United States. And if I'm working with a missionary in Sacramento, and it would get back to him that I'm claiming all the credit, it gets to be, it hurts. And because I am all over the United States, I've got to be very careful and what I put in the newsletters and stuff, because if any time I could damage myself seriously on the field, and sometimes we're into working with a lot of different pastors on the field that are helping putting these works together and making them go. Now, let me explain to you something about starting. The first church we started, we went out, me and my wife, we left the state of Virginia in a Hertz Pinchy truck. I didn't have a house to rent. Moved to Wyoming and had to find a house, had to unload the truck to get back to Cheyenne, Wyoming, from up in the Lander area. And in 3 or 4 weeks, we had a church started in a library there. And we was on the radio, and we was doing everything we could to get this church started. And started today, it's running close to about 100. And it's starting other churches now on its own. So that's an important thing. But as we've worked in the area for 20 years, we've built up, you know, we get to know pastors, we get to know folk, and so on. And that's good. Now, if you take scripturally, the Apostle Paul, when he went to the field, always went with a group of men. He had a bunch of men working with him all the time. Probably more than me and you ever even thought about. He gets to naming them folk, and I've sat down and read, you know, this and this and this and this and doing that. All these people had to be with him sometime or another. Is that right? So when you're working out on the field, say, like, if I was going to start a church in this area, if I got to know this church and another fundamental church down the street, and another one over here and another one over there, and they would help me start the church, and that church could fellowship with you, then we're way ahead on the game. Okay? It's not a game, but I mean, we're way down the road starting the church. not only getting it started, but it's surviving. The whole thing is just not to get it started, but to get it to grow and so on, and then getting it to survive in the time. Continue to grow with other pastors and so on, working and laboring in the area. So when we're starting churches on the field, there's a lot involved. There's people helping us. There's people working with us. We're working with other folk. And I may be the actual missionary in charge, right, of starting the work. But say, like, if you got a young pastor here, say one of your young fellows was a preacher. I know your name, David. You're not a preacher, are you? Okay. We're gonna call you a preacher, right? I got him out on the field. I'm gonna take him to the field to put him on the field. I'm out there working with him. He's the man up front. He's the man's gonna do the preaching. I'm in the background. I'm controlling the work. My job is to stay with him for about a year or so, or maybe 2 years. Be sure he does not stumble and shoot himself in the foot and have to come off the field. Okay? The church never knows I'm completely in charge of everything that's happening. They're looking to him. Why? Because when I leave, I want them to go to him. I'm there to build him up. Okay? I'm in there to present him and to encourage him and encourage the church to follow him. Really follow the Lord, but as a pastor, you know what I mean. You understand how it works? So if I'm working, I could be working in one, working by myself, and working with another man all at the same time. And helping him. Okay? Most missionaries that come into Wyoming, friends, we use that state for, because I worked a lot in Wyoming, will go home in the first year. They won't make it 1 year. I've actually heard and sit in restaurants and listen to the Wyoming people take bets on how long it'll last. Now, there's a reason for that. Because they don't go out there to really start a church in Wyoming. They want to bring North Carolina with them. Right? North Carolina don't do too good in Wyoming. No more than Wyoming would do good in North Carolina. You see what I mean? So you got to preach the same gospel. You got to make the same standards. You got to do the same. Everything's spiritually the same. But you have to adapt to what the culture is. If I'm in Wyoming, I'm riding horses. I never rode a horse before much in my life. Maybe all about 15 minutes. Before I got to Wyoming, but now I can ride a horse real well. Extremely well, because I was out there and boy, I got with the cowboys and learned how to ride. Riding is better than falling off. So you learn to ride pretty good, okay? So you have to go out and you gotta love those people. We were talking about Cherokee, North Carolina. I was talking to a young man going, getting ready to go into Cherokee. I was talking to him on the phone and I was preaching in Cherokee at the time with the church there, he said, I'm coming to Cherokee, I'm going to start a church. He downed 3 or 4 of the churches already in the area. I spoke real bad about them. I'm not saying I agree with everybody on the field. I work with those that we can walk with. But I ain't going out there just beating people up. That don't help me any. I'll stand to stand, and then they have to either come to it or they get just, pushed aside because they won't live right. Okay. He says, I'm not going down there to be a Native American. I'm not going down there to do this. I'm not going to, he's just going to go down there and preach to them. And I thought to myself, you're going to have some problems. You're going to have some learning to do. Because he's going to go down there and probably he will run into a lot of problems. But let me say this, folks. If you're going to go to Native America, you've got to go to love them. You've got to go out there and be a part of them. You've got to go out there and win their trust. If I'm out there and I got 3 or 4 Native American pastors already that trust me, boy, that's a real shot off the ground. if I go into a new area and I got people that knows people in that area and they go in there with me and help me try to start this church, right? That's a real big plus because it's an open door. Then people automatically will come to you. See what I mean? I mean, they'll come to you. So you got an open door. So starting churches, folks, is scripturally the same way the Apostle Paul started them. Right? You use men that are good men, fundamentally good men, and stand on the book, and just like we do, and you go out to the field, and you collectively work, and so on. And really, if you ever listen to the Apostle Paul, he never took a lot of the credit. Is that right? He was a man that was always building up. He says, I'm a wise master builder. And that's important in mission work, to be a wise master builder. My job is to build folk up, encourage them in the faith, strengthen them, get them to do more for the Lord, encourage them as we go along. Okay? Same with pastoring. Hey, if I'm there pastoring, I'm there to encourage folk. I'm there to encourage them and get them built up and so on. Somebody's, young man's leading the singing, then hey, I'm there to encourage him and work with him. And folk, I mean, I've seen people, I got pastors in Tennessee come up under my ministry that, you know, we encouraged when they was young, the day they're pastored, been pastoring 25, 30 years, and so on. And it's great to see these young people come up and really get a lot accomplished for Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? One of the greatest things of a church is to see people come up in the church and be great soul winners for Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That speaks well of a church. That speaks well of a pastor's ministry. One of the greatest things he can have in his ministry is to see people come up and do a great work for God. Is that right? Now, people, we start churches all over. I mean, we've been in Wyoming, we've been in Utah, we've been in Colorado. We're in Arizona, and we work all over, and we work all over. We're going right now, we're going to look at some churches on the Hopi Reservation. We've been talked to there about that. There's some open doors there. If God's going to open the door, we're going to walk through it. Right? That's just the way it is. So we look for the open door. We look to be led of the Spirit. Is that right? Now I want to talk to you about building a church for a minute, because it's good to understand how they're built. Is that right? Now if I go into Wyoming, the first time as we talked about, I go into Wyoming, and you know who's there? That's going to try to start this church? First, God's there. God ain't there, there's going to be no church. Right? And believe me, God can use not only me, but others to start churches in Wyoming. Is that right? Me and my wife. So you just take now, here we're going to go into Wyoming. I want you to think this in your mind. You're going into Wyoming to start a church. I don't have no upfront folk. I don't have no piano player. I can't sing a lick. Right? I have nobody to teach Sunday school but me. Is that right? Just the Lord, me, and Sharon's there. Right? And we, through the leadership of the Spirit of God, go out, win souls, right, and get the church started. So you gotta be a soul winner. If you're a missionary and you're not a soul winner, there's something wrong with you. You might as well stay home. If you're afraid to knock on doors, you might as well stay. Somebody said the other day, well, we can't knock on doors no more in our area because here they put signs that no soliciting and stuff and we can't get in and whatever. You know, the Apostle Paul probably had some problems like that. You know? But none of us has been beat with 40 stripes, have we? Save one. Any of you all people spend night in jail yet? Huh? I want to tell you something. The Apostle Paul, he went out and stood. Is that right? I mean, he turned the whole countryside upside down. That's what they said about him. Is that right? Hey, he wasn't afraid of what somebody's going to say. He's out there to win souls. Is that right? And that's the way we should look at it today. I'm not going to be held up. I'll go out there and win souls. Somebody, I was in Colorado and had a group of young folk out there, and one of them called me on the phone and said, "Your young people come here and passed out Bibles and tracts today." I said, "Good." You know? He says, "I got a sign out here that says, you're not supposed to do that." I said, "You didn't die." I said, "You're still on the phone. Didn't get hurt, did you?" I said, "Them kids couldn't have offended you a whole lot. Is that right? You never know. You might get saved and go to heaven one of these days." Clink. What I'm saying, hey, folks, people's going to complain. I'm out there to win souls. And I'm not going to be denied that. I'm going to go out there. I was on the Hopi Reservation. I was passing out Bibles and knocking on doors. And one of the people come up to me and said, "You can't do that on the Hopi Reservation." I said, "Well, wait a minute now." I said, "Is this the United States?" He says, "Yes, it is." I said, "As far as I know, I got freedom of religion here, right? And I'm going to continue to pass out Bibles." He took one. Right? He took one. And what I'm saying is this. They're challenging you. Satan ain't going to let you get by free.
That's right.
But you got to be a soul winner. Is that right? Got to be a soul winner. Churches are built through soul winning. And let me say that again. You can come and sit on the pew in this church from now to never. But if you're not going to be a soul winning church, you're not going to grow.
Right. Right.
You got to be a soul winning church. Is that right? Now, if I would ask you, how many in the last year, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, that won't embarrass you. You might run me out of here, might not come back tonight. How many has went out and won one person to Jesus in the last year? You personally went out and won one person to Jesus in the last year. How many's won one in the last 2 years? How many's won one in the last 5 years? That you personally went out and talked to somebody about Jesus Christ and won them to the Lord. That hits home pretty hard, don't it? Because our churches, and I'm saying all across America, and I preach in a lot of churches, have stopped winning souls. Years ago, we were soul winners. People would go visit. Now, let me say this. Now, this is going to surprise you. This is my personal experience. I can get up here and preach on soul winning. Next week, you're not going to go out and win souls. I know that right now. Maybe there might be an exception. Might be one or two of you. But the majority of you are going to do the same thing next week than last week. Is that right? I mean, that's the truth of it.
That's right.
All right. So I understand. I can have a seminar on it. Right? Come in and do a whole week worth of soul winning. Right? Following week, you've done the same thing you've done the week before. You get excited about it, but you won't go. Is that right? Now I'm going to tell you how to get this thing done. If your pastor takes you by the hand and takes you out soul winning, right, together, and teaches you how to soul win, right, then you'll go teach somebody else how to soul win. Is that right? You a deacon here? Okay. He takes him. He takes him. He takes someone out. Women get involved, right? But until you take them personally out, after 44 years in the ministry, I can tell you, you got to get them by the hand and take them. Is that right? It won't work unless you take them by the hand and take them. It just, people won't do it. They just will not do it. Now, I'm speaking in general. I could go into any church, major church in the United States today and say that this would hit just as, and they just don't do it no more. Well, we might get offended. I don't care about offending somebody. Let me show you something. There was a man, a fellow preacher of mine, preaching over in Scottsville, Virginia, North Carolina. He was preaching a revival meeting. And back years ago, you know how they used to go down the aisle and they talk to people in the altar call? You ever experienced that? Today we don't do that. It's dignified. Right? He went back and he talked to a man. Right? And this man got mad at him. Real said some mean things to him. Reeves said, me and Reeves, preacher buddy, we preached for 45 years together. Right, he did. I was a little bit younger. But anyhow, he preached for a long time. He said, it was like 55 years later. I'm going to use that number. Maybe 60. Reeves preached his whole life. He said, I was sitting by the phone one Saturday night. Get this telephone call. This man says, he says, preacher, he says, you don't remember me. He says, but so many years ago, 55, 60 years ago, you was preaching in a revival meeting, and you come back and talk to me, and I was real mean to you. He says, I want you to know last night I got saved. Huh? He says, I never forgot you telling me about Jesus Christ. For over 50 years, that man remembered. Somebody cared enough to go up and talk to him about Jesus Christ. That's something. Isn't that good? But it's about soul winning. Bobby Robertson had a man come up to him, a young preacher on the thing. He says, Bobby, he says, I'd go out and preach. He says, if I had somebody. Bobby says, go win somebody to Jesus and you have somebody.
My.
If you want to fill this church completely full and overflowing, you get in to soul winning. Now I'm going to share this with you. There's a fella in Mount Airy, North Carolina, by the name of Tig Gross. He's dead now. And I was preaching in Tig's church, and Tig was running about 750 in Sunday school, and he's, I mean, thousands in the preaching service. And I talked to Tig. I said, Tig, I was pastor, just come out of a church. And it run right at 300, you know, on Sunday morning. And I said, Tig, how do you get from 300 to 5? I said, I can't hardly get across that. How do you get that to happen? Tig says, it's nothing like you think about. He said, I was in the same shape. He said, I hear, and it said, run about 350, close to 400. Church wouldn't grow, couldn't get the budge. Right? He said, Dr. Lee Robertson, you probably heard of him, come and preach two messages. Two messages. One night, he says, change the church's mindset. From numbers on a board to soul winning. He says, now if we didn't win 50 souls a year or so, we're not getting it done. We just ain't getting it done. I don't care what's on the board, if it's 10,000. If we ain't winning souls, we ain't getting it done. And what I'm trying to get across to you today, soul winning is what it's about. Winning somebody to Jesus. Is that right? Sometimes I preach a message on the fishers of men. I told them, you know, if I went down, I'll just share this part of the message. If I went down here to the lake, I know there's one right here somewhere. And I was down there fishing, and you walked up to me on the bank, and you said, catch any fish today? Nope. Come back a week later, catch any fish last week? Nope. Next month? No. Next year, did you catch any fish last year? No. 5 years later, you say, come back, did you catch any fish in the last 5 years? And no. I'd say you're a vegetarian. You win the fisherman. Is that right? You're going to eat some salad. Is that right? Now, this is what I'm trying to get across to you. Folks, our job, there's nothing more exciting than winning souls. Nothing that'll stir a church, a young church, a church beginning. There's nothing like starting a church and seeing souls saved. The first church that the Lord used me and Sharon in to start was in Liberty Grove, Maryland. I've been pastoring the church, and it run a good number. It was run about 180 or so. And gave the church up. The Lord led us over and between churches. We're going to start this church. The Lord just led us to start it. Went over there, and I had an old one-room schoolhouse. Had a honeybee's nest in one corner. Outside, it flew in that back outside. People had to walk underneath the honeybee's nest to get in church. And I couldn't get them out of there. I tried everything. You just couldn't get them out of there. I mean, it was a great big bunch of honeybees in there. They never bothered nobody. Never stung a person. It was in and out, right? And, I mean, we didn't have many pews or what have you. And we didn't, you know, we had a pulpit. And we had carpet down the center aisle and so on. I preached. I had found one family in the area. And they could play the piano and one could lead the singing. That was a blessing to me. Me and that one family and Sharon and my three little kids, about yay higher then, I preached 6 solid months. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. To get that church started. Not one person darted the door but one of my relatives. Not one person. So every Sunday morning I preach the same. Just like here was 500 sitting there. I got a lot of voice. Got to be summertime. Now you had to go to an outhouse. We didn't have no bathroom. We had to go to an outhouse. Right? And the boys up in Rising Sun, Maryland like to tear my outhouse down and burn it up underneath of the riddle light at Halloween. So I had to watch it. I finally built one out of block. Right? So you couldn't take it away. So anyhow, we sat in there 6 solid months. I popped the windows open, and we was getting out, getting people to church, wanting to win souls. And there was a man's house about as far as that road is out there. I opened the doors and the window on that church and let her fly. The little boy in the back end had an air conditioner, had the window up at nighttime. He was listening to me in the bed on Sunday morning preach. He got up out of bed and came up to church and got saved. The next 6 months, it grew to be 90. That thing took off, and God got in the middle of that thing, and people was getting saved, and people were shouting, and people was really getting excited for God. One of the best things, a preacher come in and said, God's led me here to take this church, and there's another church that needed me. And I organized that thing and turned over. Me and my wife stood on the front steps underneath that honeybee's nest. And listen to how excited they were, right? What they was going to do as a church. Now, I want to tell you something. God can build the church, can he not? God can make it happen. God can take people, everyone, and we'll preach on some of this tonight in a different way about faith. But I'm going to tell you something, the Lord's will. But let me say this, folk. It is all about soul winning. Missionary work is about soul winning. We take young people's groups out sometimes, and we take about 1,500 Bibles. I do a big Bible ministry. We've got out about, I guess, 35, 40,000 Bibles that we've knocked on doors and whatever. I mean, I like to knock on doors. It scares me. I mean, I enjoy it. And my wife, she has a little trouble when there's dogs. But I like... I used to do heating and air conditioning. I know a lot about dogs. I can get by them pretty much. I'll get bit every now and then, but not too bad. But it's still worth it to go win somebody to Jesus. I mean, I'll get by it. I mean, you know. And, of course, when you're on the Indian reservations, they got lots of dogs. Right? It's good to have a walking cane or something with you. You can just sort of scoot them off a little bit, you know. But maybe a can of mace in your pocket or pepper spray. You can hit him with it if you have to without hurting him too bad. But anyhow, what I'm saying is, folks, you got to get it done. And you can't take no for an answer. You got to go out there and love those folk. And then folk will get to the place. We was out in Bias, Arizona. We went out and passed out Bibles in the rain. I mean, in the rain, we passed out 350 Bibles in one day in the rain. And it was raining. We were going to have church that night, or the next night, in a thing. And I'd say 45 people come in. We went out all day, passed out Bibles in the rain. I want to tell you something, folks. I'm not afraid to get wet. I'm not afraid to get bit. I'm just not afraid of it. I'm going to win somebody to Jesus. Is that right? Somebody, I'm going to win them to Jesus, whatever it takes. Sometimes you don't have the things that you need to have as a missionary. Sometimes you don't have the finances that you need to have. There's all kinds of obstacles, but God sees you through them all. God supplies your need. God works with you. And you can look at me, I don't miss many meals. I mean, I eat pretty good. As far as that's concerned. Car out there, it's rented. I mean, it's not mine, but it's rented. But I'm not walking. Is that right? And I'm just saying something this, folks. You gotta love the Lord. And you gotta love God's people. And you gotta love lost souls. Is that right? Folk, churches really get right with God when they get on their knees and start praying. Somebody knows somebody to bring to Sunday school. How many knows a little kid that needs to come to Sunday school? How many knows maybe a family that needs to come? You know, right now, I'm going to tell you something. I know my time's about gone, but I'm going to show you something about running churches. If everybody in this church in the next year wins one soul to God and gets them in this church, every year, this church will double in size. And it's about not numbers. It's not about number. It's about winning that person to Jesus.
That's right.
Hey, it gets in your blood. You know, like fishing gets you. You know, you ever get into fishing and you really like to fish? Or you really like to hunt? Or you really like to go shopping? Hit it there, didn't I? Is that right? Like to go down there? It gets in your blood. Is that right? I mean, it's something that you just live for. It's something you pray about. It's something you study for. It's something you look for God's leadership. But listen, this is not about somebody that has a super training or anything like that. This is somebody humbling, just as you are going out knocking on somebody's door, ask them if they know Jesus Christ and ask them to church. It don't take all that what people think about it. People ain't going to get mad at you if you say, I love you and like to see you come to church. If they do get mad at you, there's something up here that they're missing. Right? But you never know. They might be like that fellow 55 years later. Somebody come knocked on my door. And I know that I need Jesus Christ. Right? In the 40,000 Bibles or so that's went out, and I'm just saying, estimating it, I don't know how many souls has been won through them. I don't know. Churches have supplied the need for that. I'll show you how God works. Let me show you how He works. Started out as going to raise $1,000 for 3,000 Bibles. Right. No, it was $3,000 for 1,000 Bibles. That's the way it went. $3 a piece. Put them on the Arapaho reservation. God got into that thing. Now, this is the first year I was on the mission 20 years ago. That fund has never run dry. And there's times I purchased 1,500 Bibles and pop out of it. It has never run dry. It's like a widow woman, you know, feeding Elijah. It never got dry. God's kept that thing running. I got people that is in the Indian reservation coming to the churches asking for Bibles. I was talking to an Apache girl the other day. She says, I got people flooding my doors asking for Bibles. I keep sending them out. Right? I mean, that's the way it is. Well, sometimes we're out there, we'll go pass out hundreds. How many people get saved? I couldn't tell you. But I'm looking sometime in the heaven if somebody walked up to me and saying, you give me a Bible and I got saved.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Folks, listen, I ain't here to make no big splash. I've never made a big splash in life. I'm just a person that loves God. And I'm going to tell you, I started out, my father was a minister. And I started out, matter of fact, one of your former pastors knew my dad back years ago. And I want to tell you something right now. I want to finish well. How about you? I've run this race a long while. I've not run it perfectly. But I want to finish well. I want to go down in victory. How about you? I hope on the last day of my life, I win somebody to Jesus. I like to leave this world winning somebody to Jesus. Maybe somebody, I've been thinking about putting on my tombstone. Of course, Jesus might come before I die. Put something on there that maybe might win somebody to Jesus even after I die. Right? Huh? Everybody puts a lot of stuff on the tombstone. Maybe I've been thinking about what I could put on there to win somebody to Jesus even after I die. Folk, God will save people, won't He? That's what it's about. Folk, I go from place to place looking for God to open the door, try to get all the help I can get. That's good fundamental help. Start a good fundamental church, King James Church, standing on the Word of God, stand straight and do right, folk, and just love people and hope a church will get started and God will send a pastor and I'll move on and start somewhere else. Sometimes it's hard to leave. It's hard sometimes to leave. Especially when you've got five little grandkids back on this end of the country. It's hard sometimes to say goodbye. Isn't it? Some of the churches it's hard to leave. But after a while, we won't leave no more. After a while, we're going to gather. Right? After a while, it'll be worth it all. Is that right? God loves you today. I believe this church is a great church. You've supported me for years, and I thank God for you. I really do. And I know you've been faithful and you love God. I hope the words we've said has been an encouragement to you. I hope it's been one of the best Sunday schools you've ever been in. That you really learn something, that God loves you, and you can be a powerhouse for God. Is that right? A powerhouse for God. All that you can do for Jesus. Is that right? You want to make your pastor happy? You fill this church up. Overflow it, where you got to knock the doors out. Make you happier than anything going in. It'd make you happier than giving you $1,000 raise, wouldn't it? Huh? 100 times over. Hey, I mean, you know, money's important, but it ain't everything.
Right.
Folk, a pastor looks back, he sees his people working and loving and bringing. That's the greatest sign that you love your pastor when you bring somebody to church. You want to really make it exciting? You'll start bringing everybody to church you know. That excites you a lot, wouldn't it? Return back over to your pastor.